know we're late, but if you wanted to, if you have, Karen said I should take a few questions. So put up your hands if you're curious, or we'll say goodbye. So long. Yes.
Why couldn't you have sold that video to Pepsi?
Why couldn't we sold that video to Pepsi? It's possible that the entire Dis Pepsi record. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you the title of it. It's called Dis Pepsi. Yes, maybe the whole thing was a covert ad campaign, because it actually was, that record actually was a big hit on college radio, and I thought, well, they don't play commercials on college radio, and even though it's, you know, if they say any mention is a good one no matter what, then, you know, Pepsi would have liked the idea that did this whole project with them. They actually got talked, they got interviewed about it. There was actually a news piece, like actually again, on, we got an NPR again, and they actually talked to a Pepsi spokesperson, and they were declining to do anything, to take any legal action against us at all. They just wanted to leave us alone, which seemed like kind of a much smarter idea, actually. And interesting, too, because though it sets no legal precedent, it does establish a real-world precedent where a multinational company is actually publicly saying, yes, we know these people stole our intellectual property, and no, we're not doing anything about it. So, yeah.
If you did all the stuff you did but didn't actually make any money from it but sent it out into the public as much as you have, would you still get some?
Would I still what?
I mean, if you actually didn't sell anything that you made, I'm just curious, like, is the
someone can sue you for, I could sue you for sneezing on me. I mean, you can get sued over absolutely anything.
So it could be like defamation or using some, but if you're not making any money, I'm just, my question is,
well,
if
it's
you're
true.
Not actually making any money off of
yeah.
it, then what are you gaining from the, I mean, just what hypothetically.
What is who gaining?
So they sued you because
yes.
you were selling something, using their
thing. Right. John Oswald did a project called Plunderphonics, which used samples from all these different artists, an amazing record. He gave it away. He was threatened. He had a lawsuit against him. It just depends on whose toes you step on. Pepsi chose to do nothing in this case. I mean, it really just sort of all depends. There's no rule. People would like to think there is. Like, they think there's some rule about how much sound you can sample that's allowed when you make a piece. There isn't any amount that's allowed. People have been sued over drum hits. People have also been not sued over all kinds of things. Yes?
Can you, now with the internet, are you guys, do you look at it as, even though you guys are like old-fashioned technophiles, do you look at the internet and say, all right, now we can do some real fucked up shit and get our stuff out there and no one can stop us because it's too fast?
Well, I mentioned we released the Mansion of the Christ video that way.
But
you
do
know,
you guys like look forward to like, let's do a lot more in that medium or not?
It's hard because there's only so many of us, you know, there's not like some, I don't have some paid assistant that I can, you know, so we're running our record label, we're trying to produce a DVD out of, there's tons more shorts, there's a whole another half hour of shorts that I haven't shown you that we've made over the years. We're trying to put out a DVD, run our own record label, run our website, do the weekly radio show, do this tour, blah, 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 blah. You know, so it's completely insane. So we all are quite aware that we feel like we're all underutilizing the web for sure. But it's, you know, we're getting there. We're slowly redoing the website, you know, trying to figure out how to use Dreamweaver and just stupid, you know, stuff like that. Now we're surprisingly behind in terms of where we're at with our knowledge about that stuff. It's hard to keep up. Yes. Oh, yeah.
You've made a frequent mention of your archive. Now, what format is this archive? Is it like a room or is it a hard drive on a computer? And are you interested at all in giving others access to it?
Hell no. Find your own stuff. A lot of it's all in the closet in Don's bedroom. Boy, does it smell bad. He smokes cigarettes. The bulk of it, because of how we've been collecting all these years, is on reel-to-reel and cassette tape. And in fact, Don still prefers to just gather raw voice stuff on cassette. For him, it's just an easier, faster medium to get tons of stuff and keep track of it. He actually sort of likes it better. We actually plan to put up some of our archives on our website at some point. But really, you know, it's like we found them. You know, if you want to make stuff, you got to find your own stuff. Not holding your hand. Yeah, there was a question right there.
Yeah, I wanted to make it. It's been just so fascinating. And ask what your views are on privacy rights and how they have got the activism that you're talking about, or if they do, because I'm not aware of this
Yeah. Privacy, I don't know, I touched on it a little bit when I mentioned we've used an occasional sound bit here and there that was gotten from phone calls that we never should have had, you know, that is invasion of privacy stuff, and there's strong laws about it, and, you know, I'm not really going to argue about it, but we ended up with this tape, and it was really great, so we used it, and I mean, somehow that just supersedes everything else, and the guy was an asshole, so I don't think we were hurting any of the wrong people. But it, interestingly enough, when we wrote the sampling license with Creative Commons, it was very challenging to do because I think ultimately we are idealists. The vision we have of the world we'd like to see will never happen. It is never going to happen. I know that, but I'll continue to, you know, talk about it. But with Creative Commons, we had to work with a team of lawyers to try and turn our idealism into actual legalese and actual language. And it's really frustrating, you know, because ultimately it never quite works right. And the idea of putting limits on what is and is not acceptable rubbed us the wrong way because by its very nature, even if we define how you can reuse culture, maybe Negative Land hasn't thought of some other way to do it that someone else comes along and thinks even further outside of the box than we did. So it was real hard. But we did come up, we had a public listserv. If you ever go to their site, it's all documented up there. We had a public discussion. Anyone could be on it. And it was all about how... Everyone seemed to agree that that the one limit we always wanted to put on it was that corporations could not appropriate back the other way. They couldn't take from, you know, people and use it to make, you know, to make these commercials and stuff. Everyone was against it being used in commercial advertising and appropriation. Our argument was that commercials aren't free speech; they're paid speech, and that's somehow different. So that's, yeah, right there.
You said that earlier that you do presentations to different groups of people, like the anarchist group. Would you in any way change like your presentation, like the way you gave tonight, to cater to different groups of people?
Well, I've done this presentation. The question was how much it changed. Most interestingly, I've done it to teenagers. I actually spoke once to a class in Brooklyn and definitely, you know, tweaked it differently. The best experience I ever had was I was at a vaguely liberal Presbyterian college in Hastings, Nebraska, speaking to 500 18-year-olds who've never even heard of the word irony. And it was amazing because I was so utterly and completely not speaking to the choir at all. And I had to do a talk where I was trying to anticipate every question they would have inside their head because they'd never even thought of the idea of taking media, reusing it, you know, all these practices just completely alien. And I actually, you know, by the end felt like they were convinced, you know, and I won them over to, you know, and they were totally into it. So it was like it was a supreme moment. You know, all your smarty pants New York people, you already know all this stuff, so, you know, so. Anyway, but I should stop because it's getting late, and I like to talk, and I need to stop talking. But I actually just want to play one more short thing. It's like a minute long, because I think this is really funny, and this is an example of taking something, instead of collaging with a bunch of different elements, this is actually taking it even further. This is made 100% from one single thing. But it's been all sort of rearranged and altered. So tell me, you know, if this should be legal or not. But you'll know, you'll get it in a minute. But I just want to play this one last thing. And thanks.
Raindrops on kittens and schnitzel on roses. Nose cream on my nose. Whiskers and crisp eyelashes with noodles. Wild geese that fly with their wings tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Ponies in dresses and warm, warm doorbells and brown raindrops. Girls with blue whiskers tied up with noodles. Wild kettles that fly with bright copper wings. These are a few of my favorite things. The dog bites, the bee stings. I simply remember my favorite things. And then I feel so bad. Lashes that sting on colored girls tied up with blue satin sashes, wild brown girls tied up in warm strings, wild white girls that melt into nose cream. These are a few of my favorite things. Nose cream on ponies, nose cream on kittens, nose cream on roses and nose cream on mittens. Bells and 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 wild geese. When the bee stings, I simply remember my dog bites, and then I feel